I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ to our service of worship today, a time of celebration and a time of remembrance, a time to thank God for the life of Carrie Hollingsworth, for everything about him that was good and kind and true and faithful, for all of those things for which we are most grateful. In Carrie's life, his relationships with each and every one of us, and his service to church and community and to one another. It is a time to surround this family with our thoughts and our prayers, but also to thank them for sharing Carrie with us so generously for all of these years. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear God, and as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, you formed us from the dust of the earth, and by your breath you gave us life. We glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, you tasted death for all humanity, and by rising from the grave you opened the way to eternal life. We praise you. And Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, you are the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope. We worship you, and to you be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. We turn our attention now to our readings from Holy Scripture, first from the Old Testament, a pair of readings from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and grow weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now let us recite together the precious words of Psalm 23, which are printed in your bulletin. Please join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn our attention now to the New Testament, first to a reading from 1 Corinthians. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. The body is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will have been fulfilled, Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Turning now to John, the words of Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know the will of my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And finally, a reading from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends our readings. And now I'd like to invite forward Carrie Hollingsworth III to share a remembrance of his dad.
Dad was a pretty emotional guy, and I'm afraid I inherited that from him, along with his golf swing, both of which have proven to be lifelong challenges. So, those of you out there my age and a little bit older may remember a commercial on TV. It's a Campbell's Alphabet Soup commercial. Most of you have probably forgotten it. I haven't, because it's tormented me for about 50 years. But to remind you, there were a group of kids sitting around a table eating their alphabet soup. And they started having a race to see who could spell their names the fastest with the alphabet noodles in their spoons. And it would show all the kids feverishly working to spell their name in their spoons. When they'd get there, they'd triumphantly hold up their spoon and have Billy and Susie and Smith and Jones, and kept going back to this little red-headed, bespectacled kid feverishly trying to fit all these letters in his spoon. And finally, in the end, he holds up his spoon and goes, Hollingsworth. My wife Ginger didn't remember that, but boy, I sure did. I used to have friends that still come up behind me and go, But with a name like Carrie Ferguson Hollingsworth III, there's a little question about who you are and who your daddy is. As far back as I can remember, people would say, "Oh, I went to high school with your dad. He was the nicest guy in the whole school." Or, "Carrie Hollingsworth, I bet I know your dad. We were in college together. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met." Or, "I was a Phi Gam with your dad. He was the nicest guy in the house." Or, my favorite, as I got older, I heard this all the time and still do. It was, "Oh, I know your father. I worked with him at the bank. He was such a big help to me and is one of the nicest guys I've ever met." It happens all the time. But it made me remember back as a youth, I thought it was, you know, it was fine to have a nice dad like Mr. Douglas on My Three Sons, or Mr. C on Happy Days, or Mr. Mitchell on Dennis the Menace. But I wanted a tough guy dad. I wanted a Bear Bryant or a Sergeant Carter. And I wondered why my dad wasn't tough like that. I knew there was a tough guy in there because people would tell me all the time what a good athlete he was in school. I just never seen it. Although I knew he was a good athlete because of the way he threw the baseball or the way he ran or the way he passed the football. So I knew it was in there. And I also knew that he and the other boys, and they were boys of his generation, went off to war, went to the army, went to boot camp. That was tough. I knew that was in him. And also, I was always reminded that he played quarterback for the Bessemer High School Fighting Purple Tigers, 150 pounds. And back then, the quarterback was a blocker. And they wore leather helmets and no face masks. Now, that's tough. So I knew that tough guy was in there. Well, the day finally came when, as a teenager, that tough guy came out. And boy, he came out with a vengeance. And some of you rascals out there, and you know who you are, you all got me into some trouble. And boy, I found that tough guy. But after several youthful indiscretions, wrecked cars, high school fraternity, bad grades, oh, how I longed for that nice dad to come back. He was there all the time, though. I knew it. And thankfully, by the time I went off to college, even though I betrayed the family tradition and went to Auburn, the tough guy, tough dad, gently disappeared, never to be seen again. So, for the last 40-odd years, I've enjoyed the nicest dad you would ever want to meet.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In our reading from Philippians, Paul urges his readers, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And I'm not sure I've ever seen one particular verse of Scripture match up so well with one particular person, the way that that verse seems to match up with Cary Hollingsworth. His gentleness was indeed evident to all, and we knew that the Lord was near, because Cary modeled so well the life of our Savior, who once said of himself, "I am gentle and humble at heart." Cary modeled gentleness so well. But his gentleness wasn't just a product of his old age, something that was forced upon him as the years took their toll. No, Cary was this way from the day he was born, back in Bessemer, Alabama in 1929. Even then, he made friends easily, his sister Emma recalls, and he always saw the very best in people. He kept in touch with many of his childhood friends all throughout his life. He could pick up the phone and dial a friend who lived on the West Coast, and they would pick up right where their previous conversation had ended. In fact, one of his best friends from childhood, E.B., just passed away himself in January. Cary was an Eagle Scout and won many awards in high school. He always maintained his connection with and affection for Bessemer. He was involved just recently in getting the Bessemer Hall of History off the ground, which seeks to keep a record of the heritage of Bessemer. Growing up, Cary's gentleness did limit him in one way, as his son Cary has mentioned. His football career never got off the ground. And I just can't get over the image in my head of Cary wearing football pads. That's quite an image to imagine, but so it was. Though he was too nice for football, he pursued other interests as he headed to college at Alabama, where he would join the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity, a brotherhood with which he would always maintain his connection. His grandson is a member of the same fraternity, and proudly pointed out the photos of his grandfather that are displayed on the walls of that house to this day. Cary's gentleness extended to his courtship of Joni, his wife of 61 years. The story how they met is great. Cary's sister Emma and Joni were sorority sisters, and one day Emma invited Joni to come home to Bessemer with her for the weekend, and Cary was there that weekend too. The three of them went out to lunch. And they continued, the three of them, to go out for coffee and lunch until eventually Emma stepped aside and let the two of them carry on with their romance. They could often be seen sitting under a tree on Alabama's campus, talking for hours on end, and they were eventually married in 1956. As a father, Cary's kindness was manifested in the enormous tolerance and patience he offered his children. When young Cary would bring home wild animals as pets, Cary's response was not, "What are you doing?" His response was, "Can I help you build a cage?" The Hollingsworths house skunks, raccoons, and other critters. They even built incubators to hatch quail eggs. His children remember how Cary always put his family first. And when Cary traded his family and went to Auburn, Cary and Joni supported him nonetheless, and at least he stayed in the same fraternity. And when Jamie went to Swanee instead of a big state school, he can remember his dad encouraging him to go wherever it was that he really wanted to go. Cary and Joni sacrificed a great deal to give their children everything that they could. Instead of doing things themselves, they gave to their family. And their sacrifices are not lost on their children, whose gratitude to their parents is evidence of the love that they found in them. As a grandfather, Cary maintained his gentle, loyal character and commitment to his growing family. He wouldn't go out of town on vacation if his grandchildren had a sporting event coming up. He was lighthearted and taught his grandchildren about Hollingsworth humor, the sort of silly, playful humor that they are known for as a family. He would like to pretend that he was pulling marshmallows or quarters out from behind his grandchildren's ears. And then there was the time when he was working in the attic and almost fell through the roof. All of a sudden, his leg came crashing through the ceiling. It's an incident that is recalled with humor now, but I think it was an accidental example of Hollingsworth humor. But gentleness was just one of the many virtues by which Carey lived his life. No part of his personality or disposition stood outside the realm of his integrity. He conducted his professional and personal life with honesty and kindness. As his family reflected on the example that he has set for them all these years, they recalled an incident that occurred when Carey was 16 years old. He was involved in a horrifying car accident. The car flipped multiple times and Carey was thrown from the car, but remarkably, he walked away with just a few bruises. But that incident seemed to be a turning point in Carey's life, and with a renewed lease on life, his family jokes that that might have been the last thing he ever did wrong. So when we think about Carey Hollingsworth, what is most memorable and special is not so much any one particular strength or one unique thing that he did especially well. What is most memorable and special is the exemplary character that he modeled day in and day out, all throughout his life. All of us find a way to make the right decision at certain times in our lives, to be sure. But what was so remarkable about Carey is the way that he so consistently lived the virtues that Paul talks about in Philippians all throughout his days. Not just gentleness, which was perhaps the most vibrant, but also that which is true, that which is honorable, just, pure, pleasing, and commendable. So it's appropriate for us to highlight our memories of Carey during this time of worship, because the kind of integrity and gentleness we saw in him surely came from God. Philippians tells us that as we think about excellent and praiseworthy things, the God of peace will be with us. Sometimes, of course, it can be difficult to find peace in moments of deep pain and loss, and our grief over Carey's death will certainly be a companion for a while to come. We will miss Carey a great deal, won't we? But nevertheless, God's peace will come to us even in the valley of the shadow of death, when we remember the hope that we have in Christ. Our memories of Carey's life bear witness to the ways in which Christ has been at work in him. In his baptism, Carey was buried into Christ's death and raised to live a new life. And it was the work of the Spirit that Carey modeled for us through his life of integrity. And now his baptism is complete, and he has gone home to be with God. Just as we saw Christ's presence at work in Carey's life, we can be sure of Christ's presence even in the midst of Carey's death. We know that he is now with all the saints who have gone before him, before God's beautiful throne of grace. I don't think it was a long journey to heaven for Carey, because I think his life prepared him well for the eternity he has now entered. Our faith, of course, tells us that we don't earn our way to heaven. We don't earn our salvation. God's grace is a free gift. We rest assured that it is what Christ has done for us that saves us. So to acknowledge Carey's integrity and his good works is not to say that he earned his salvation. He wasn't perfect, just like none of us are perfect. But by the grace of God, I think Carey was about as ready to enter the kingdom of God as any of us can hope to be in this life. Because if heaven is a place where we all join the family of God, then the fact that Carey always put his family first prepared him well for eternity. If heaven is a place where God is honored in all that is said and done, Carey's strength of character prepared him well for eternity. And if heaven is a place of gentle peace, the kind of gentle peace that we all long for in a time like this, then I'm sure that Carey is doing just fine being himself among all those who have peace at last. So may we who remember Carey fondly give thanks that our lives overlapped with his. May we honor who he was by the way in which we live our lives. And may we find peace even as we grieve, knowing that because Christ is alive, so too is Carey, who rests in the everlasting arms of our gentle Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, as we offer our thanks to you for Carey's life today, we have many things to celebrate, many things, many ways in which we might honor him, many ways in which we might praise you for the wonderful man that he was and the lasting legacy that he left, and for the strength that he modeled for us, for his family, for his co-workers, for friends and members of the church. We live in a world where strength and power are often misunderstood and very often misused. We celebrate things that are not virtues, but are just raw power. Oftentimes we look at success even when it's won by cunning and deceit. But here we have in a man like Carey Hollingsworth all of the things that do stand for honor and integrity, for someone whose success others might truly celebrate because it wasn't won at the expense of someone else. It wasn't won by forsaking his own ethics and moral standards. It wasn't won by anything but love and by grace, by honesty and truth. So we long for a world where that kind of success and that kind of honor and that kind of strength is valued in ways that it used to be. So we give you thanks for the mark that he left upon this earth and all that he did stand for that was good and honorable and true. We give you thanks for that quiet moral strength that he had, for the steadfast love that he showed, for his faithfulness and his gentleness and his forbearance. We give you thanks that you were with him during the times of his deepest need, especially later in his life when illness was a prevalent part of his life. We give you thanks for the strength that you gave him, the love that you showed him, the healing that you gave to him, and the renewal that he found in you each and every day. We give you thanks for the love that he had for his family, for the fine example that he was, for the relationships that were so important to him that he put all of his needs second to theirs in every case. We give you thanks that his pain is now ended and that he is healed of all of his diseases and infirmities and that he is truly living a life of peace and of joy. And now in the silence of these moments, we ask that you hear us as each of us offers to you in our own words, in our own way, our words of thanksgiving for what he meant to us. And all of these prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now hear these words of commendation. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of all. We are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. This you ordained when you created us, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with all your saints, where there is neither pain nor sorrow nor sighing, but life everlasting. And so into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Carrie Hollingsworth. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace, both this day and forevermore. Alleluia. Amen.